Welcome back to Durango Digs on AM 1240 KDGO 98.3 FM. Jack Llewellyn with the Chamber of Commerce here with Hillary Knox. And I'll be able to introduce you without, stuttering there. But Hillary Knox with La Plata Electric Association, and member experience is your title. Is that right?
VP of member experience. Yep.
Yeah.
I like to make it hard.
I was going to say that sounds very encompassing of, Oh, give that to Hillary. She'll take care of it.
All the things. Yes.
Yeah. Including radio interviews. And I want to ask about solar, because, you hear a lot of different things out there. You hear about, rebate programs or do this. We all know, going solar is, good for the environment type of situation. What do you suggest with solar, with what LPEA can help with?
Right. I'm glad you bring that up, actually. So LPEA does not offer any solar rebate programs. Most utilities do not. But we do work with members, whether they be residential or business, if they are interested in pursuing solar on their homes or businesses. But the thing I really want to point out is there has been a massive proliferation over the last couple of years of solar scams that are directly targeting our membership.
Oh, wow.
And they are promising the moon and the stars. And if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And it's just really frustrating, Jack, because they're targeting, members of our community that do not have that kind of money to spend. And they're promising, massive immediate payback. They're promising no upfront fees. That stuff is just predatory advertising. So really what you should do if you're interested in solar is three things. First and foremost, call LPEA, because each installation is different. And sometimes, depending on where you live, there may be challenges and obstacles that would prevent you from even being able to put in a system. For example, we have some areas within LPEA service territory that are fully saturated already with solar, and we cannot accept any more onto the grid. So it would be good for you to know that before you invest a ton of money in trying to put solar on your roof. So number one, call us. Number two, on our website, lpa.coop, we have a list of qualified solar installers. These are installers, local installers that we have vetted. They're local, they're familiar with our standards, they're here, and so they're far more likely to fix issues that you may have with your system quickly, as opposed to these out-of-state folks that come in and then you can never get a hold of them again, which we hear a lot. We recommend that you try calling a company that you're interested in, seeing how long it takes for a human to help you, because that's actually a pretty good indication of the service that you might get. So that's two. And then three is get at least three quotes, at least three. So, just see what the comparable rates are. If there's different price, ask them why. Do your homework. This is a big long-term investment, and we really suggest that you do it well and safely. So three things: call LPEA, check our list of qualified solar installers, and get at least three quotes before you move forward.
And I think that, the three quotes especially, and there are a lot of great, I Shaw Solar, Solar Works, I even know like Durango Electrical does some, solar work. And there's so many businesses here locally. I'm probably going to get in trouble now because people say, why didn't you mention us? And, going to LPEA, you have that full list, and it's so important. And it is interesting because I think people think, oh, I can put, solar panels on my roof and then I can, spin the meter backwards. But again, as I've learned over the years, the transmission lines deliver the power. And sometimes, as you mentioned, there may be too much solar returning back to the grid, which then could prevent you from adding solar. Or I guess you could talk to a professional and say, well, what about, an inverter to charge batteries and do some things along that, but definitely give you guys a holler and a call to find out if, you can even add solar to your system.
Yeah. And the quickest, what we're seeing a lot is, local installers are really encouraging people to install systems that are 150, 200% of their actual energy use, because they're saying that, oh, LPA will buy that back from you and you'll make all this money. That is not the case. We do have a tariff that we will purchase some power, but it is not, you're not going to be making money off of that. So the biggest bang for your buck is really 100% of your energy use. And so that's what we call right sizing. And we encourage all of our members to really right size their systems and to not expect the solar panels on their roof to really be a cash cow for them. Really, the solar panels on your roof should be powering you and your family. And that's how you should be viewing them.
Well, I think, too, it's always important to, look at the electric bill, see what size you need, as what you mentioned. Also, I'd encourage people to check out other installations that companies have done. I know an individual, and he's very, very talented. And they were going to say, oh, we're going to run the line down the side. We'll put it in conduit. It was all, to code. And he said, well, I want to take it inside. And he said, why don't we do it this way? And they went, well, we can, he said, okay, well, let's go that way. But definitely checking out other installations to make sure they do a good job, which the local companies, again, know what they're doing and can certainly help. I know you're not an accountant. Do you know of, are there federal programs possibly right now that people can take advantage of with solar installations?
Yeah, we're currently kind of drinking from the fire hose when it comes to trying to understand and communicate all of the changes and incentives that are coming down from the Inflation Reduction Act, right? So I don't have that information off the top of my head, but over the next couple of weeks, we will have a new page on our website that's going to try and help our members understand what they can get in addition to what LPA offers. So for example, LPA offers very, very generous rebates on the purchase of heat pumps. But then you can get even more above and beyond that in federal incentives for those same things. So I can't speak to exactly what the solar incentives are off the top of my head, but I know that there are some. I also know that there's quite a few EV incentives coming down the pike for electric vehicles. So I would encourage people to Google and do their homework like we are, and just know that within the next couple of weeks, we'll have a bit of a resource page on our website to help guide people through that.
And I do think that, you mentioned Four Core earlier. There's Four Core Home Solar Housing Solutions. There's so many different organizations here that, specialize in, helping people navigate through the solar programs and what might be best. So speaking of solar, and there's some people love the idea, or maybe some people are against the idea, but there's a 1,500 acre, 1,600 acre proposed solar farm out in Hesperus. Is La Platte Electric involved in that? I mean, I would assume yes.
No, we are not. Yeah, so we get asked questions about this all the time. We released a statement on our website accordingly. But the bottom line is that we really don't have any official position on this project because we are not involved in the project at all. Primergy is an independent power producer out of California. They have no affiliation to LPA. LPA is not bound by any expectation to purchase any power from that project or even to transmit it over our lines. I believe the lines over there belong to Tri-State, which is our generation and transmission provider. The one thing that I will say, people ask, well, if it goes forward, are you going to purchase the power? Well, I mean, if the project proceeds, if it's approved, and if it results in the generation of really cost competitive power, we may be in the position to be able to purchase some of that power in the future. But it's too early to judge the feasibility of that option. And, we definitely are not making any commitments towards that end.
So, it sounds so complex because, just being, assuming that La Plata Electric is involved, and then assuming, well, it's your power lines that will distribute the power wherever it goes, but it is tri-state. And when you mentioned California, all that energy generated from the solar panels, I'm going to be obnoxious and say, well, it's going to go to California and help Californians, not local, possibly. And so it's very interesting.
It will go to whoever buys it. And, the electricity is really Interesting, because I think we think of it as sort of this nebulous force, right? But if you think of all of the transmission lines that crisscross the United States, they're really like freeways. They're really like all of your Amazon products and all of your UPS packages that are whipping their way down the freeway towards you. Electricity is very similar. But you know, electricity is not as easy and free flowing as the freeway system, because it's generally restricted to the grid on which it is generated. So, I know it's kind of complex, but, yeah.
Well, and you get the, and I'm going to say, you know, if there's too much electricity going, you get traffic jams, so to speak, or a power outage or something that occurs, and you got to have the freeways, quote unquote, a power line that would be big enough to handle the generation of electricity and where that's being generated from. And so, yeah, you're right. The complexity of it, you know, if you're a layman like me, I just want to flip the switch and have my lights come on and be able to record via Zoom and all of those things that we just kind of, you know, we take for granted. Mentioning Tri-State, what's the latest with Tri-State? Because you hear a lot about Tri-State in the news and renegotiating, you know, and that I know that there's been, I'm going to use the term restrictions on how much local generation can occur based on the contract with Tri-State. So, right. So how's that relationship going?
Yes, it's an odyssey. And, you know, we are still working on it. We do get questions from members. We did actually just release a statement on our website for folks who want to learn more. But for those who may not have been following this odyssey, we in 2019, the LPA board asked LPA employees to pursue multiple contract options with our current power provider, Tri-State. Tri-State currently provides 95% of our power. We're only allowed to produce 5% locally, and our contract runs through 2050. So it's a very long-term contract. So the board wanted us to pursue three options: a full exit from Tri-State, a partial exit from Tri-State, and amendments to our current contract to allow more flexibility. And long story short, we are still pursuing all three options. The partial exit option, we have a settlement case that's before the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. That's been somewhat delayed and kind of got kicked back to the administrative law judge recently. But that is still in the works. That's still something that we're following and could still be an option. Another thing that we're looking at is amendments to our current contract. We're working on this actively right now with Tri-State and some other Tri-State members. And if that's done right, it could help LPA and other Tri-State members realize their future power supply objective. So, and then the third option is a full buyout from Tri-State. That's still also on the table. We expect the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to rule on that later this summer. And once there's a formula in place so we could figure out how much that would cost and what the impact would be, we'll make a decision on that. So, you know, to anyone out there who's following this process, there's a lot of balls up in the air. No options are off the table yet. It's just, we're waiting to have all of the information before we can make a decision. And we'll likely bring this back for another round of town hall meetings when we have more details. But for now, we're just waiting.
Well, and that's something I'd like to point out. I say it all the time that, you know, get involved in your board meetings, as you say, you know, the town hall, and open to the members so they can come in and, you know, listen to what's going on, probably, you know, public comment and, you know, weigh in, because I think it's important to have a voice. And I always say, as the chamber guy, that, you know, the vocal minority gets heard a lot sometimes, whatever the issue is, city council, county, La Plata Electric, and making sure that you do get involved, that your voice is heard and weigh in, because it's important. And the board, you know, we elect the board for La Plata Electric. I'll get this right. And making sure, I'm also stretching this out because I'm looking at the clock and I got to take a break here in about 30 seconds. So when we come back, I do want to talk about, you know, the board election process and if you have any openings right now or not, and what that looks like. So one more time, the website?
LPA.coop.
LPA.coop is where you can go to get all your information. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Hillary Knox from La Plata Electric. And again, you're listening to Durango Digs on AM 1240, KDGO, and 98.3 FM. Stay tuned. Back in a few.